Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
You may be seated.
So at a church Sunday school class, the teacher was instructing on the story in Genesis about how God created everything, including human beings. The teacher came in this kindergarten class to the part on the creation of a woman from the man's side. Little Johnny, barely old enough to be in the class, around 4 years old or so, seemed really intent when they told how Eve was actually created out of one of Adam's ribs in his side. Johnny took this teaching into his little mind. Later in the week, however, his mother noticed that Johnny came running into the house after playing in the backyard, holding his side. He seemed really upset when he ran past her into his bedroom. There was like this look of horror on his face. So Mom followed him into his room. Apparently Johnny had a cramp in his side, but he wasn't old enough to know what that really was. Mom asked him, "What's the matter?" He replied, "My side is killing me, Mom. I think I'm having a wife." Well, what's in our head affects how we think and live. Thoughts determine actions. We come to this very important teaching on the first Sunday after the Epiphany. We're told in our gospel lesson how Jesus in his humanity learned from questions and answers. Even he, God of God, even he in his humanity learned from questions and answers by interacting with the temple priest. And the gospel ends that he grew in wisdom and stature. He grew by having his mind fed. In our epistle reading, however, we hear St. Paul telling us how we are to live. He says, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." There's this profound emphasis in the New Testament on the mind. Augustine said, "The mind is closer to heaven, therefore God works through the mind." Other ancients had realized this. Christianity emphasized it in its teachings of the New Testament. The New International Reader's Version of the Bible translates the passage, "Do not live any longer the way the world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely changed." How we think determines how we live. Bad thoughts, bad living. Good thoughts, good living. So if we're going to stop living the way the world lives, which is what we're called to as Christians, then we have to realize the battle starts in the mind. We have to reprogram our minds to think the way God thinks, which is not how the world thinks. Transformation is through learning. It's through learning, as this great Anglican scholar named Harry Blaymeyers says in this profound book, The Christian Mind, it's by learning to think Christianly. Blaymeyers observes that not long ago, the Western part of the world had a Christian mind. That's not to say that everyone was a Christian, but Christianity had so penetrated the Western part of the world and the academic world that everyone basically learned the Christian mind, whether they realized it or not. That's all changed. Those days are gone. So we as Christians, we can't rely on the education that takes place in the world to help us think Christianly. We have to work like they did in the early church when the world was not Christian, what we call the pre-Constantinian world. We have to work hard at what it means to think Christianly. We have to deal with all of the vocabulary, presuppositions, paradigms of a secular world that actually bombard us. We should not overlook, however, that at the same time, St. Paul called for the renewing of the mind to be so thoroughly Christian that it would translate into life and we would not be conformed to the way the world lives. Thoughts determine actions. So what does it mean to think Christianly? Blamires is very helpful here. At one point in his book, he's got a profound summary that I'd like to share with you. He says, the Christian mind conceives of truth as, quote, supernaturally grounded, not developed within nature, that it is objective and not subjective, that it is a revelation and not a construction, that it is discovered by inquiry and not elected by a majority vote, that it is authoritative and not a matter of personal choice. So let's unpack that. First, truth originates in God. All truth originates in God. It does not originate in the natural world. The supernatural transcends and is distinct from the natural. Nature does not and cannot become God. There is truth in nature, but the truth comes from God. It doesn't originate from below. God became man, but man can never be God. Really significant difference. Second, the Christian mind conceives of truth as objective, not subjective. God creates truth, and therefore truth may be in nature, but nature doesn't make truth. Truth has an objective character to it. It is there, it is always there, it doesn't change. Whether we recognize it or not, truth is always there. Third, the truth of the Christian mind is revelation and not a construction. Truth is not made up by human ingenuity. Truth is discovered, even by human means. Nevertheless, truth is not made up by humans. So there's a revelational aspect to truth. Truth comes from God. It's embedded in the world that He creates, but it's important that we keep that distinction. Whether Holy Scriptures or a discovery in science, truth is revelatory. Read some of the greatest discoveries made by scientists. They will tell you it was like a revelation came to them. Indeed, it probably was. Fourth, the truth of the Christian mind is not what the majority thinks. We've been able to live a long time as Christians in a part of the world where there was a Christian mindset that pervaded the society. Didn't mean everybody was Christian. Didn't mean everything great happened. There were a lot of ugly things that have happened even during that time. But there was a Christian worldview out there. It's gone. And in fact, the majority increasingly doesn't think Christianly. And moreover, it seems to be antagonistic to the Christian mind. Believer in truth finds himself or herself basically in the minority nowadays. Even so, the truth is truth regardless of what the crowd thinks or does. There was a time in history where a man named Athanasius, early bishop of Alexandria, stoutly opposed the teachings of this heretic Arius who believed that humans could become gods. That's why it sold so well in the Roman Empire, where the emperor was believed to be God. Guess what? Humans are still fascinated with the possibility of becoming a god. Athanasius opposed this because those teachings had come into the church. Hounded through five exiles, he was finally summoned before the emperor, Theodosius, who demanded he cease his opposition to Arius' good teachings. The emperor reproved him and said, "Do you not realize that the whole world is against you?" Meaning, the majority's got to be right, right? Athanasius answered, "Then I'm against the world." Finally, truth is authoritative, not personal choice. That is, a human decision doesn't create truth. Just because we decide to do it doesn't mean it's truth. Just because I choose to do something doesn't make it right. Truth is authoritative whether a human recognizes the authority or not. We are called to choose the truth, but our choice doesn't create truth. So the Christian mind consists of all of these realities. We have to learn to think this way. Blaymeyer concludes, to think Christianly is to accept all things, whether the mind as related directly or indirectly to man's eternal destiny as the redeemed and chosen child of God. The only way to be transformed by the renewing of our mind is where Romans 12:1 started in our epistle lesson. Remember what it said? By the mercies of God, present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. We have to take our minds, ourselves, to the Word and the sacrament. And I would say to you, brothers and sisters, get all of the Word, all of the Bible, and all of the sacrament you can get, because you're going to need it to think Christianly and not be conformed to this world that has moved into what we call post-Christendom. God help His church at this time to think Christianly. Amen. Let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive."